in my ministry that I realize I shouldn't have done it now after all these years is I don't bring my Bible up onto the platform. My scripture is in my text here that I write and print. But I can't remember the last time from the pulpit that, like David did last week, he opened his text and he read it. That's a change I need to make from the pulpit. And to do that, that's part of increasing our biblical literacy. How many of you here, and don't be ashamed, I wasn't going to ask this, but I am. How many of you here have your Bible with you right now? Thank you. Great job, guys. I didn't ask that the other way, because I think that would be overwhelming to us. But the Bible is not really, we don't carry it with us. I know it's on our phones and stuff, but like if we're really honest, you're playing video games, right? No. I think that it is important that we need to set the example of being learners, being connected into small groups, bringing our Bibles to church, reading the scriptures along with whoever's preaching that day, engaging in it, read through Bible reading plans. We need to set that example, because not one of us in this room knows it all. But if I asked you a question, what is the evidence that you are a learner? What would you have to say? What are you learning? Then we go on, and Jesus says to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's really one of the first steps of being a disciple, is to be baptized. It's the, as we witnessed this morning, and this was not planned. This was not planned for this morning. This was something that just happened. And, you know, we saw Jill stand up here and make a public profession of faith in Christ. Nobody does that unless it is prompted by the Holy Spirit. That's not something that Satan wants to do. He doesn't want anybody to stand up and say they believe in Jesus. But Jill did that. You know, as I've shared many times when it comes to baptism, it's a symbol of the burial and resurrection of Jesus, which we believe in. And Philip, he witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch as soon as they came to the water, and he was baptized. You know, baptism is important in the life, in your life and the life of the church. Then it goes on to say, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, because life is a matter of building. Each of us has the opportunity to build something, whether it's a secure family, a good reputation, a career, a relationship to God. But some of those things can disappear almost overnight due to financial losses, pandemics, unforeseen difficulties, marriage issues. The list goes on and on. And so what are we to do? Well, Daniel Webster offered this excellent advice. He says this: if we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work on men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with just fear of God and love of their fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which time cannot efface, and which will brighten to all eternity. You know, I believe that this is one of the major signs of being in Christ. Those have been written on your heart, and you obey. You obey. Jesus says this in John 14, if you love me, obey my commands. Samuel the prophet said, to obey is better than sacrifice. The Lord wants and he desires obedience to his commands. And so that's one of the things that we learn. We learn obedience. And we're to teach new believers in Jesus to observe everything that he commanded them to do. Obedience to all of Jesus' teaching should become the standard practice. We tend to be a bit wishy-washy, and we don't teach certain things lest we might offend somebody. We want to rewrite some of those things so that they will fit our culture. Now, we shouldn't seek to be offensive for the sake of being offensive. We must come to grips with the fact that the world crucified Christ because of the word. They're not going to think highly of us if we stick to that same message. If we compromise the word to woo them into the church, they're going to hate us even more. Christ, he withstood the culture, and he demanded that the culture become aligned with his word. He did not align his word with the culture. The apostles did the same, and they turned their world upside down. We do not submit to Christ's authority, nor follow the example of the apostles, if we do not submit to Christ's authority, nor the example of the apostles, we wonder why the church is upside down. You know, outward discipleship is only a start, and it's really not the final goal of discipleship. Discipleship is not just being sure that a person knows the do's and don'ts and shows up at a service with their Bible. Okay? The major and the most important part of discipleship is inward. They need to experience, we need to experience that, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's what we need to learn. That's what our people in our sphere of influence need to learn. We need to learn to rely upon the presence of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to empower our lives. As believers, our lives will change far more dramatically as we are conformed to the image of Christ. As we make those decisions, obedient decisions to follow him. As the lost sees the changes that sheer willpower or turning over a new leaf could never make, they will want to seek the one who can make such changes possible. And then they'll be able to see changes in themselves. As we allow ourselves to be discipled inwardly, we will see changes in our lives, our church, our community, our province. And I believe it can happen. We believe as a leadership team that it can happen. And we want to invite our church family into that process as we look at these three big opportunities that we believe God is placing before us. One, it is the hiring full-time of the family ministry director. And the reason I'm not saying Emmett's name, and that's who we're wanting to hire, it's just that it's the position. The second is biblical literacy. And we'll unpack that a little bit more and what that looks like, but I want to encourage you to start bringing your Bibles and to get involved in a small group, and we'll have more info about that coming up next week. And then the third thing is our facility, and what our facility, we couldn't hold the amount of people that we're trusting God for. And what does that even look like? We don't know yet, but we know we need to start a process now so that sometime in the future we'll be able to meet those needs. Let me pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. We're grateful for what you've called us to do. We are grateful for your word, the Great Commission. Help us to obey it. Help us to dream about it and live it. And we pray that many more would come to faith in Jesus because of our faithfulness to you. We pray even now as we consider these three big opportunities that you have brought to the leadership team. We pray, Father, for wisdom for our church, that we discuss these three things and how they might look in our church family, how they might impact our budget and our giving, how they might impact our own comfortability. But Father, most often I just pray that your people would hear very clearly what you are calling them to do. And so we just submit ourselves to you once again, Father. Empower us, give us clarity and vision. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.